Dunavant is a family-owned business that has the knowledge to ensure global and domestic shipping practices are efficient and effective. Dunavant generates supply chain proficiency with outstanding, attentive, and expedient customer service. For more information, visit dunavant.com.
The hurricane is coming. You can feel it in the air. Anxiety starts to build. Pressure mounts. What is your plan of action? How will you navigate the storm? That's how it feels when you encounter a challenging supply chain crosswind. You seek to find the eye of the hurricane. That is where we live. Dunavant. Logistically speaking, we're at the center of it all.
With more than 60 years of experience in logistics innovation, Dunavant is a family-owned business that has the knowledge to ensure global and domestic shipping practices are efficient and effective. Dunavant generates supply chain proficiency with outstanding, attentive, and expedient customer service. For more information, visit dunavant.com.
One, two, three, go!
Happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Great Quarter Gals. I'm your host, Kaylee Nix, along with my co-host, Grace Sharkey, and the gals are apart again. We're here in Chattanooga, we're here in Michigan, but we had a great time together last week. And Grace, it feels like I just saw you, and I'm already ready to see you again.
Yeah, it's so funny. My feet have recovered completely, but what it hasn't recovered is just being around a bunch of freight nerds and our fellow coworkers and being able to be in one place and come up with great content. It was just such a fun ride, and on to the next one soon, right?
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about Future of Supply Chain. We were in Northwest Arkansas last week, joining 1,600 other self-proclaimed freight nerds, as you like to call them. And it was quite the time. You know, I was hosting, you were hosting. We had guests all over the place doing fireside chats, running around. Give me like your one word description of Future of Supply Chain, if you can boil it down to just one word.
Nonstop freight information. And when I say information, it's not even just like my beat, right? Not just technology, not just fundraising, but what other people are up to, what different markets people are starting to serve. I got to talk to so many shippers. I sat behind the whole team of Nestle on the way into the event. So like getting to hear everyone's freight, like opinion at this point in time, such a cool experience.
Who did you like talking to or hearing from the most, whether that's like a fireside chat or just like someone you stopped in the middle of the exhibit hall and was just like, hey, what's up?
I feel like nonstop getting stopped in the exhibit hall, like going from three hallways, but constantly stuck in them. I think my favorite chat overall that I got to stop by and actually like listen to and take some time for myself was honestly Billy B. And I'd hate to like put that one out there, right? Because I think that was like a good headliner, keynote speaker for everyone to see. But he made me feel so special and so important here at FreightWaves and just what FreightWaves is doing for this industry. Hearing how much he wanted to include data and analytics into his problem solving in baseball in a time where no one really needed it. One of the most impactful things he said was, you know, no one was going bankrupt in baseball. Like there was no need to continue to look at it in an analytical perspective. And I think sometimes you see the growth of this industry and you see how much money and trillions of dollars are in this industry. And you think, you know, if I'm making the right decisions, it can't just all be luck, but it shows you like how much he thought that data analytics would be important to baseball and how he just went with it. Even if people didn't believe in him, he just didn't care. And there's a lot of that energy here at FreightWaves where, you know, we trial and error different types of content and different types of products, even in sonar. And at the end of the day, we don't care what anyone else thinks about it. We know the impact that we have in the industry. And I just felt like his keynote really pushed with what FreightWaves really is for and what we're doing for this community as a whole.
I almost call it kind of like innovation through tenacity, right? It's like we have these cool ideas. You have this idea that like may or may not work. And there's doubters, there's naysayers, which of course there always are. But both his strategy and I think you're so right. What we do here at Freight Waves is kind of like, you know, you're going to naysay us, but okay, we're still going to do it anyways. Like it doesn't matter. We're still going to do it.
Exactly. Rest of the show is off. We don't care. We're going to keep it moving. So I think that was one of my favorite things, just being in the moment as well.
Absolutely. I absolutely loved hearing the keynote, the industry keynote from Gaddick CEO. And we know that you love Gaddick because they're doing some really, really cool things. But what was really interesting about his keynote was that they had both their truck, their self-driving autonomous truck that's been deployed in that middle mile solution. They're in Northwest Arkansas serving the customers and serving Walmart through their partnership in Northwest Arkansas now for, I believe it's been about 6 months since fall of last year. And it was really, really cool to see him talk not only about the impact that it has kind of on the future of the industry, right? But like seeing that impact in real time, seeing the footage and seeing the mapping and seeing the solution where it's playing in that true middle space. And so I really, really loved that. And then plus we got to check out the actual Gaddick mobile, the truck that was there. It was there parked outside.
Yeah. And I actually got to do a smaller fireside chat with them too. And prior to doing that and meeting them face to face, you know, they are two brothers, you know, in this business together. So it was kind of cool on like a family side of things to hear about not just this business they grew, but their other businesses as well. And at the other, but you mentioned it's deployable. It's out there right now. It's actually making a difference. Justin from Back the Truck Up even made a great point. You know, this is a part of the supply chain, a part of driving this like 7 miles from DC to DC that drivers don't like anyway. So it's mm-hmm. like, it was just really cool to have all of those opinions, right? In one space, in one hallway, in one discussion. Like how often do you get that opportunity?
Really quick before we introduce our guest for the day, what does this make you look forward to for F3, the Future of Freight Festival coming to Chattanooga in November?
Just even more people, vendors, companies that are going to be there, the types of chats that we're going to have. I think the technology that we're going to see at the festival will be incredible as well. Like, of course, we had Gaddick there, but I think we're going to see a lot more. And I'm just excited. I mean, think about if we had this event 4 months prior. It would have been a totally different concept that we're talking about. So I don't even want to know what November is going to look like. We got Shanghai hopefully open up. Like it could be a whirlwind of topics that we couldn't even think about right now.
It's going to blow future supply chain out of the water. That's for sure. I think I said in my LinkedIn post, it's going to make future supply chain look like a backyard barbecue. So you know what? Get your tickets for F3 right now. You can do that on live.freightwaves.com. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we close out the show today. But right now, let's get into our guest of the day. Grace, when we took this over, we took over Great Quarter Guys, which their tagline was Great Quarter Guys, where the lines of freight and finance are none. And they kind of made that their entire personality on this show. And of course, we've transformed it into female leadership in freight, which we love to see. But today, we're kind of going back to those finance roots and breaking down the barriers of both freight and finance by talking to Beth Westjohn, who is the CFO at Ascent Logistics. So Beth, thank you for joining us and thank you for helping us stay true to the mission of the original show and putting a little twist on our new mission.
Hi ladies, how are you? It's great to meet you. I'm actually a little new to freight. So this is very exciting for me to be a part of your reboot here, right? I'm honored to be a part of it. Thank you.
Of course. And I'd love to hear more about your background and being new to freight. What industries did you come from before? And what's it like being a CFO in freight now? Because I know when it comes to accruals and the books, it's a lot different than a lot of other industries. It moves quicker. So tell us, what's it been like for you so far in freight?
So I, as you mentioned, I'm CFO of Ascent, which is a crazy fast growing global logistics service provider. We have 1,000 employees. We are up to $2 billion in revenue. We manage a competitive marketplace that specializes in premium and expedite freight, which again, very different from where I came from. I've been in finance for 30 plus years, I'm a CPA. I did some public accounting time that sounds like it's like in jail or something or prison. But it was just public accounting. And then kind of transitioned into industry and spent about 20 years in the food service manufacturing industry. It was commercial baking, a commercial baking group, in various roles all the way up to CFO. And then a couple of years ago, I got the opportunity to kind of switch roles, which is really cool about finance. So the finance, when you get into finance, that's one of the cool things. Your skills can translate from one industry to the next. And so I got to, 25 or so years into my career, switch industries, and I get to learn something new every day. You're right. It does move fast. Although the commercial baking business moves pretty fast too. We had a 5,000 dozen buns per hour, high speed line. So that was a lot of fast moving. But the freight industry is different. It's service, which is different than manufacturing, obviously. I learn something new every day. And you asked about what's it like to be in finance in freight. We're largely an asset light, freight, largely brokerage style business. And so honestly, liquidity is very interesting. You talk about accruals and certainly getting the numbers right, making sure that we have the right information for our business leaders is important for running our business. But liquidity and balancing in the brokerage space, this, money in and money out, it's tricky, especially with the pricing and the market that's happened over the last 2 years, right?
Beth, we've talked to a ton of female leadership on this show and a bunch of C-suite execs as well, which is great for us. But you're the first person that we brought on who's been in that finance side of things. And I think that the transferableness of the skills, I think, is something that's really, really important, especially when you're talking to maybe girls, young girls who are looking to get into the industry, who are maybe looking at a finance degree or an MBA and thinking, okay, I've got to go into public accounting, or I've got to go into being pigeonholed and do, banking for this one thing, about stuff like that. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you kind of learned about those transferable skills and about kind of some of the courage it takes to say, you know what, I'm leaving my public accounting side of things, or I'm leaving this one side of things and jumping into an industry that you don't know a whole lot about, like freight?
Yeah, it's a little scary, isn't it? And you know what? So I think there's a lot of, there's a lot of barriers that keep ladies out of finance and freight. It's interesting how they kind of go hand in hand in that way. And, it starts with can't, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good at math. I don't want to hang out with men all the time. so I think, one of the things that, from my perspective, because you're talking about like transitions, because I had transitions. I was in public accounting for several years. And then I kind of went on my own and had my own office for a while, my own clients. And I got to the point where I could pick what I wanted to do. And I concentrated on this sort of like controller type CFO outsourced service, that's how I ended up transitioning into industry, because I really enjoyed that. And so, do what you want to do and don't listen to the can't. I mean, I had parents that inspired me. Not everybody gets to have the kind of parents that I have, but you do always have people in your life that, are there to help one way or the other, a mentor, right? My dad basically told me, without really even directly telling me, he probably did directly tell me all the time. He led by example. He was in finance, and that I wanted to be just like him. He was like the smartest guy I knew, and I wanted to be just like him. That's how I kind of got into this. But he basically told me that I could be anything I wanted to be, like over and over again. And he led by that example because he, did what he wanted to do. And then I had this mom who worked out of the home. Like, my mom did not have a job outside the home until I was an adult. And she showed me what it was like to be, strong and courageous, and she sort of had this bossiness with a purpose. Where it's like, you know, I'm not bossy, I'm motivational. I have this sign in my office behind me when I'm on Teams. Right now I'm actually in one of our offices at home in my office. You know, and that was a great confidence builder for me to see those people in my life that kind of inspired me to do what makes you happy. Figure out what you're good at and then go do it. And don't let, you know, it's only men that want to do that in finance keep you back. I mean, I've spent my entire career surrounded by men. And it's fine. I enjoy it. You can have a lot of fun with men. Right? I mean, you gotta learn how to speak, you know, you gotta learn how to talk the talk and walk the walk without losing who you are. That's the key. So we're women and we act a certain way and we can't just go act like men because that doesn't work. Because if you start acting like men all the time, then, you get labeled words that we probably should say on podcast. But so you have to figure out the balance, like, you know, how are you gonna be true to who you are without turning people off? And you know, I attribute a lot of that to connection. And this is a little unusual for finance people, right? To be extroverted and outgoing and have a personality. I don't mean to insult the finance people out there because there's, I have a whole team, 70 people on my team and none of them are people you wouldn't want to go have a beer with, right? They're all wonderful people. So, but there's a stereotype of this person who just sits in the corner with their little green shade and counts all day long. Yeah. And that's not what this is about. It's not what freight's about. It's not what finance is about. It's not what business is about. It's about connection. It's about people. Yeah, there's a lot of numbers to put in boxes and there's a lot of papers to push around and we got to keep the bills paid and we got to make sure our business partners are happy. But, and our shareholders are happy, you know, and we serve our management team. But, you know, it's mostly about, my experience has been it's about connection and really understanding the people that you're working with and working for. And that's the fun part, y'all. That's the fun part. And you can be good at math or not. I mean, you kind of have to be detailed and organized and pretty structured to be in finance, or you're probably not going to have a lot of fun and enjoy it. But, you know, it's more than just being good at math. I mean, like, there's this idea in freight and finance, again, side by side, that is boring, that the same thing happens every day. I am telling you, no. Oh my gosh. Like every day I go to bed like slobbering on my sleeve from the excitement. You know, like I just wish I could have one day where it was the same thing happens every day. So you know, it's dynamic, it's exciting, and and if you, I also try to approach it as, what am I learning, right? I got to learn something or I'm not interested. So that's why this transition from public to owning my own business to then, you know, working 20 years in food manufacturing business for a small business that started from, you know, dirt to, you know, over $100 million in sales and being a part of that and then translating to a whole different career at the age of, you know, 48. I mean, it's that's what gives me confidence is the people.
You know, I personally think that in a logistics environment, that back office, the accounting department is the actual heart of the company. Because, you know, when we even talk about recruiting in this industry, we're constantly talking about the sales reps or the carrier reps. And at the end of the day, a lot of the work they do is booked revenue, but you guys actually make sure that revenue becomes cleared and comes into the business. And so I'm interested over time, what types of roles have you seen evolving within your own logistics company as you scale? And you mentioned that, you know, maybe they're not the most extrovert type of people, but I think that I think that, you know, there's a lot of really great people who might not, who might be in finance, who don't see logistics because they see it as more of a sales role. But how could they get involved with the freight community in the finance sector? What type of roles are you able to fill in that back office to keep your business moving and growing?
Well, first of all, to your heart of the business, I would love for you to talk to our business development, sales, and team and CEO and tell them how we are the heart of the business. I have a team of because I'm not a problem with them. But
I will be
interesting thing, and this is why, this is part of the reason why I think you say that, or you maybe draw that conclusion, is because, as we like to say in our little accounting and finance department in our business, it all ends up in accounting, right? It flows, things happen, all of the business from sales to whatever's going on in the business, it all, whether it's in the right format or not, ends up in the accounting department to straighten out, right? So that's an end, and we're the information source, not the only information source, but a major information source. So it's not necessarily all about the numbers. In some businesses, that's how they're run, and those aren't businesses that, in my opinion, I want to be a part of, where it's only about the numbers, right? Because if we aren't taking care of the people, then, you know, you're not, the numbers aren't going to make sense, or they're not going to happen. Eventually, it'll fall apart. But the numbers are how we keep score. So they're important, and we need to make sure they're right. And we need to make sure that we're serving the business in finance with the information that, you know, that the business leaders need. So that's kind of why it's sort of like, I think, that heartbeat. And I've rambled on and forgotten your question. Oh, you were talking about careers. You asked about careers in finance. And yes, they're like, as we scale, like, there's all kinds of opportunities for, we have people on our team that never thought they'd be in finance. And in fact, it's really interesting in freight. Like, you know, when I first came into this business, I talked with, you know, dozens of people in our business, leaders and different people, just one-on-one, just to try to understand what they did, what their business, their role in the business. And almost like 3/4 of the people I talked to started their story with, well, I sort of fell into freight.
Yep.
And, you know, and I mean, like most people, that's their story, right? So, and I don't think that's probably the story of the finance people. You know, most people don't fall into finance, but we do have a few people on our team who have. And I think the cool part about, you know, opportunities in finance now in growing companies like Ascent is in leadership. And it's really interesting to try to translate, because so the skill of the finance skill and the finance task and managing that and being really good at that is very different than leading people. Like, those skills are very different. And it is quite a transition to translate from, I'm great at numbers and boxes and pushing data around and even analyzing data. And, you know, as you move up the finance ladder, you get to a certain point where you, when your success no longer depends on how great you do, but it depends on how great these other 5-10 people are, that's like a whole different ballgame. Yeah. And it's really cool, the opportunities that women have right now. You know, we have this sort of work from home remote, you know, trend in the industry, of course. And I mean, I worked remotely before it was cool. Like, for 15, 20 years, I worked from home. And through that food manufacturing business, I was able to work remotely for a bunch of years until I moved up to a certain level. So when you get to a certain level, remote work is not easy. When you're just managing people, you kind of got to be there with the people. So the last few years, I did a lot of traveling, and I still do a lot of traveling. But the cool part about ladies and opportunities for women in finance is there's a portion of your career that you can do remotely very easily in finance. And so when you've got those kids at home and your life is crazy and you're constantly driving them around to the practices and going to the school this and making sure you want to be there for your kids, right? Don't want to be necessarily chained to a desk in some office. The finance roles that you can do to work your way up, a lot of them can translate to a work from home, largely remote, or even, you know, maybe hybrid situation to allow you to have that life, to raise your family, then the kids leave you. And my husband told me, honey, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to leave us. Why are you so sad? They're supposed to leave and go off and fly, little birdie fly. And at that point, it opens up an opportunity. Now, if you, you know, kind of manage your career well, you can take the opportunity to go be a leader and move up. And then that's when you have to start, you know, when you have that opportunity. I mean, it's right. Cool. If you really pay attention, you can kind of work yourself through that. Right. And I mean, that's a cool opportunity for women, especially.
I love that, Beth. And I love this conversation that we had today. And I wish that we had more time to sit down and chat with you. We'll have to have you on as a repeat guest for Great Quarter Gals. Thank you so much for being with us here today. Go check her out at Ascent Logistics. And thank you all for tuning in to today's episode. And if you missed last week, we got to catch up with Shelley Simpson, one of our dream guests for us here. I know Grace was super excited. I was super excited about that. If you missed last week's episode, you're in luck because it's following up right after this one as we end in just a few seconds. We'll see you guys next Tuesday at 3 o'clock for the next edition of Great Quarter Gals.
1, 2, 3, go!